You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Ron Brown, who is in the gold and silver business, and he's been at it for, what, pretty close to 30 years, isn't it, Ron? 34 years. Now, basically, of course, people wonder why we want to spend time talking about gold and silver. Well, we want to talk about it because it has to do with the economy of the world, of the United States. What's the largest debtor nation in the world today? Well, 10 years ago, the United States was the largest lending nation in the world today. Today, America is the largest debtor nation in the world with massive debts that we can never, never pay off. They're simply lying to us about what the debt is. If you go to John Williams' website at shadowstats.com, he's an independent economist who's not paid by the government to lie. And the old adage is figures don't lie, but liars figure, and they get good salaries from the government. But read what John Williams says. He says our national debt, federal debts, are well over $86 trillion. It can never possibly be paid off. That's all we have already agreed to pay people for Social Security and for Medicare and for all the other government programs, and there's no money for it. And we do know that other nations throughout the world, for instance, the BRIC nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, are setting up an independent monetary system because they know this system is going to go down. It's not a matter of if, but when. Ron, you pick up the story and let people know your thoughts of what's going on. And if you disagree with me, go right ahead and say
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. But, you know, it started to accelerate downhill, what, a year and a half ago when the U.S. tried to, in fact, we declared draconian sanctions on Iran. And one of the things we did was to take them out of what's called the SWIFT system, where all international trade is conducted in dollars and it goes through the SWIFT system. So it's like cut the person out of their checking account or, it was to make it very, very difficult for Iran to conduct business. And what happened is India and China came to the rescue and they said, Iran, we will buy oil from you and we'll pay for it with gold. When they did that, that was kind of a slap in the face to the U.S., so we then tried to declare sanctions, or we came down on China and India. Now we're picking on some pretty big boys, and I think that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, and that's when they called the summit meeting of the BRICS countries. That's when they've been plotting and planning, and a lot of people have been saying since then that they're plotting to develop a system to replace the dollar, and that's exactly what started to be shown. So you're right on target, Jeff.
Ron, can you speak up just a little louder? Or we just don't seem to have that good a connection.
I'm trying to speak as loud as I can.
Okay, fine. I'm going to ask then my producer, we're going to a break, and I'm going to ask her to ask you to hang up or ask her to call you back, see if we get just a little better connection there, okay?
Okay.
Because I think it's so vitally important that people out there understand Let anybody who has anything in a pension fund or in a bank account or an insurance policy, all of this is in jeopardy today because of the dollar itself is in jeopardy. The whole monetary system of the world is in jeopardy. And you better understand what's going on. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we'll see if we get Ron back on the line here and get a little bit better connection. That should be something of a mechanical nature, probably is more than anything else. Under any circumstances, ladies and gentlemen, if you are tied into the dollar and your life savings is locked into the dollar, why, Chris, I would be very, very concerned now. Ron, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying it looked like they're accelerating towards the end game. And, of course, the Eastern Bloc nations have been plotting and planning and methodically transferring wealth and power and prestige from the West to the East, and at some point they're going to be ready to just pull the plug on these Western bankers and force them to default, and that's when everything will start to happen very, very quickly. And I think we're approaching that end game.
Well, Chris, we hear a lot about certainly the fact that many of our major banks are insolvent, but how could the six major banks, be insolvent? They have so many holdings, or is it that they simply had purchased so many bad assets and they have bad assets on their books? And then isn't that what the Federal Reserve System is doing, buying up something like $40 billion of bad assets from the major banks, trying to keep them from collapsing? What's really going on with the Fed purchases of mortgage-backed securities?
Well, obviously, these banks are sitting on these mortgage-backed securities, which are toxic paper, which means they're not worth nearly what they're supposed to. And so to bail the bankers out, to keep them solvent, or at least keep them from falling apart, the Fed steps in and says, we'll buy up that paper, and we'll give them 100 cents on the dollar. In other words, what they're really saying is, we'll take these bad debts off of our banker buddies, and we'll pass on that bad debt to the taxpayer. So when you start printing $40 billion to buy up the mortgage-backed securities, and we've got another problem. The foreigners aren't buying our treasury bonds to finance our deficits anymore. So they're putting another $45 billion every month to buy up the unwanted treasury bonds. So in total, you're printing $85 billion every month, open interest, ended. So obviously that's going to create fear in the dollar, and it's starting to accelerate. And so, of course, then they have to come out and act like they're going to stop doing that trend. Of course, they can't stop because if they'll stop, the whole banking system starts to unravel. So it's nothing but smoke and mirrors, Dr. Stan has told us how to work together.
Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest, of course, is Ron Brown. And we'll be back here in just a moment with Ron. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Ron Brown. And Ron, tell us what do you hear? They've certainly been playing games as far as the price of gold and silver is concerned. Those prices are just ridiculously low. Is this simply a spontaneous downward movement, or is this all being manipulated? Dishonestly, we're not supposed to have manipulation of our markets, but are our gold and silver markets being manipulated?
Well, of course they're being manipulated. Just as one example, a month or two ago, I don't remember which day. Remember, a couple of months ago, silver was trading at almost going up to $35, which was a major breakout point from a technical standpoint, and gold was getting above $1,600. So they were about to take off, and the bankers would lose control, So they find a time and they step in and just ambush the market. And people need to understand that as long as you get the price of gold and silver off these commodity exchanges in New York and London, where you're trading not gold or silver, but paper contracts on high leverage. So these Western bankers who have unlimited funds to play the game can literally ambush the market and force the market down. So a couple months ago, I don't remember the exact figures, but in 1 5-minute period on the opening, these bankers sold in excess of 50% of annual world production of silver. In other words, they sold somewhere around 500 million ounces of paper silver, which flushed the market, started it back down. Then you have all these traders, speculators, trading on leverage. Once you start the market down, it creates margin calls, and it just it comes on down. That's what we've seen. Silver's down, what, $7 from the high. So it's the same old manipulation we've been watching for 20 or 30 years, actually.
Well, basically, of course, since I think it's vitally important that, I mean, somebody ought to bring a lawsuit against that. Would there be any way that people could bring a lawsuit? Obviously, the people in government are behind this whole thing. The Plunge Protection Team is working with those major banks to manipulate the price of gold and silver. And this is dishonest. It's a violation of our laws. It's a violation of our constitutional. And yet it seems that we have a ruling elite that wants to do what it wants to do, irrespective of what's right or wrong. Would that be a fair appraisal?
I would say so. They're just totally abrogating any respect for the rule of law. And, you know, you and I have talked about this many times, but this whole idea of rehypothecation, where, without going through the details, any financial institution has the legal right, according to legal precedent, to literally use their client's assets for collateral for whatever they're doing. So what it's really saying, we have the right to steal your money if our bets go wrong. And that's exactly what's been happening left and right.
Well, because that's what happened in Cyprus, and I fear that that's what's happening, going to happen in Greece. But the idea that this could happen here is so foreign to the average individual. The average individual believes that you put your money in your bank, and it's your money. But, of course, they could change the rules at any time, couldn't they?
Absolutely. Well, they have. In fact, that's what legal plunder is. You just give legal, you know, permission to do whatever you want, to just kind of pass the laws to accomplish what they need. And, you know, just to show what we're doing, and we've talked about this several times, but there's been three cases, MF Global, where their clients lost $1.5 billion, and you had PFG Best, where their clients lost $200 million. But the one that basically seals the deal in my mind is the company called Sentinel, who took out a $312 million loan through Mellon Bank in New York. They pledged their client's segregated funds as collateral to that loan. They used the proceeds of the loan to start their own trade desk, went belly up, and in the bankruptcy, Sentinel's clients lost $225 million. So they've been fighting, and that happened, by the way, back in 2007, and they've been fighting it through the court system ever since, and last November, I think it was, went to the Federal Appeals Court, which is the next to the highest court in the land, and guess who the bank, the court ruled in favor of? The bank. So they basically established the legal precedent that says any financial institution can literally rehypothecate or pledge their client assets as collateral, which gives them the right to steal, in other words.
Well, basically, of course, the whole idea, there's one thing about integrated funds, there's another thing about segregated funds, and they, if they are segregated funds, that means that they are not the property of the bank to do with as it wants to.
Exactly, and what they're doing now is the deposits with Cyprus, they're basically saying the segregated funds were, in effect, a loan to the bank, and so therefore they're responsible, so they're now. And last I heard, Dr. Sam, you might correct me on this, but they initially tried to tax all depositors, even less than 100,000, which is what's supposed to be guaranteed. They would have taxed them, what, somewhere around 9 to 10%. And there was such a hoopla, they backed off. But then they came out and they created capital controls. In other words, they basically said, it's your money, you just can't get it out. Now I'm hearing rumors that they're taxing anything above 100,000, somewhere between 40 and 60%. So,
well, basically, I think people have to understand that the banking system has always been a fraudulent system built upon trust. But, of course, we cannot trust the banks, number one. And two, if you try to reclaim your money, why, the courts are corrupt and they will go right along with the banks. There is an establishment. Then they look after themselves to the detriment of the people. But what are people going to do? This is the big problem. If they can't put their money in the bank, where are they going to put it? Are they going to put it in a hedge fund? Are they going to put it in the stock market? Are they going to put it in bonds? Or would they be better off to put it in commodities? Now, incidentally, ladies and gentlemen, if you're out there in the listening audience and you're hearing this program, I'd appreciate if you just called in and let us know. We're having some calls that some of our stations, they're hearing commercials, which are not ours, playing over our program. So if you're hearing the program, please let our producer know, and she'll actually let us know. We can see if we can track down where or what part of our a grid, because we have a number of different satellites up there, which ones are putting the wrong information out. So if you wouldn't mind, call our producer if you're hearing the program. Don't have to have, if you have a question or comment, of course, we welcome you. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But give us a call. Go right ahead.
Well, you know, we're just talking about how the banks and the politicians are basically changing the rule as they have to because they're desperate. And they're just violating all concept of rule of law as they desperately try to hold the South apart together, and it's getting harder and harder and harder to fix. You know, for example, we're talking about bank solvency. Banks work on something called fraction reserve banking. So if someone deposits, let's say, $100,000 in the bank, the bank can then go out, assuming the reserve requirement is 10%, they can take that $100,000 and parlay it into $1 million worth of loan. Now, what's happening is these banks are loaned out full tilt, and now people are starting to pull their money out. For example, I had a lady call yesterday, and she was buying $100,000 worth of gold and silver. And she started getting calls from their bank. She says, I've never had them call me, and they're trying to talk her out of pulling her money out of the bank. But see, if she pulls out $100,000, then legally the bank would have to do away with $900,000 worth of loans that they've made. So the banks are becoming insolvent as people withdraw their funds and they don't have the funds to back the loans that they've made.
Well, I think that people have to understand that the whole world monetary system is on the brink. I think that, what do they call it? The financial system is on the brink of an abyss, and it's only a matter of time before it falls over. Okay, well, apparently the problem is solved now. For those of you out there listening, the problem was on the American Christian Network, but we're getting through now, so please thank you very much for calling, and hopefully we won't have a problem again. Our guest, of course, is certainly Ron Brown. If you have a question dealing with finances and these difficult times and what you should be doing, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But basically, most people don't understand that the stability of a nation is built upon the stability of the monetary system. We've always had a stable monetary system in the past. And over this last 10 years, there's really been an organized, orchestrated effort to undermine our financial system. It really started with Alan Greenspan and doing everything wrong from a monetary point of view. And it's continued even worse under Bernanke, who's actually creating $85 billion a month and just simply creating it out of nothing. Oh, why is he doing that? Well, of course, he's buying treasury bonds. Why is he buying treasury bonds? Because nobody else wants to buy them, ladies and gentlemen. No, people don't want to buy treasury bonds because they don't trust the American treasury ever to pay it back again. So Bernanke is simply creating the money out of nothing, buying the treasury bonds. But how long can he continue doing that? Because if he didn't do it, why, the Treasury wouldn't be able to send out their checks for food stamps and for Social Security and Medicare. They're going behind $1 trillion a year. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But you have to start making your preparations now for the financial cliff that's coming. It's not a matter of when, or not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. We'll be back in a moment.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, the truly do unto self. Being free of disease is real well. Home for Health.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
God's not here just to serve our needs. He is our Lord as well as our Savior. So as we try to seek the truth and realize there's nothing we can do in our own understanding, that's the only chance, hope we have to find peace is to turn back to Him, and that's when God can help our country. So
For our listeners out there, we have Chris calling from Kentucky who thinks that we should not be concerned about financial matters. We just should look to God, not make any preparations for the future. God's going to provide. Thanks very much for your call, Chris. And let's go to Sandy, who's calling us from Yakima, Washington. Hi, Sandy.
Hello, Dr. Stan. Mr. Brown, I had a question for you. My son-in-law has $10,000 invested with Charles Schwab, and I was wondering if he went to withdraw that money, would they give him the money?
Well, I would hope so. Yeah, they should, yes.
I mean, are they doing that today, giving you your money that you want out?
No, I haven't heard of any example yet where they won't give you your money. Lord, if they
wouldn't, okay.
If they wouldn't give you your money, then that would create the panic out of the whole system. So,
okay.
Going through all the motions to try to make convince us that everything is hunky-dory, that we're in an economic recovery and that everything is wonderful. And it's all smoke and mirrors, in my opinion.
I can hardly hear you. I don't know if it's my phone or if it's the line or what. But anyway, okay, so they're not doing that, and that's what I needed to know. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye, Sandy. Thank you very
Bye.
Much. And basically, of course, right now you can get your money out. Well, what about,
right.
say, 6 months from now or a year from now? This is my concern. Would that be
mine, too. That's my concern, yes.
Well, what do you think, Ron? Right now you can get your money out. What do you think is going to happen 6 months to a year from now?
Well, you know, 10 days ago the people in Cyprus could get their money out, and now all of a sudden their money's trapped. So, as I've told people for years, I don't know whether this thing is going to fall apart in 2 weeks, 2 months, or 2 years at this stage. All I know is I'd rather be 2 years too early than one day too late and prepared for what's coming down. And it's obvious to anyone that's tracking this that our nation is bankrupt. The banks are insolvent. The politicians and the bankers are doing desperate things to create the illusion that things are over. They're trying to bail everything out. But when you start just running the printing press to keep the system from collapsing, you destroy confidence in the system. And once you destroy confidence in the party's over, and that's about where we're at.
Does that answer your question, Sandy?
Yes, it does. And I just wanted to make one quick comment about not preparing. I remember the verse in the Bible where God was telling us about the ants, how they prepare. And that's the way I feel. I feel that we should prepare. And I'm not sure why, because I felt led by God to prepare for a certain length of time, and then I didn't feel led to do that anymore, so, except for water.
Well, I think that basically all we need to do is look and see the tragic situation of the Christians in Egypt today, where we toppled Mubarak's government, installed a tyrant named Morsi under the Muslim Brotherhood, and the Christians are being raped and murdered over there. And some people
yeah.
say, well, they should just sit back because it's all in God's hands. I don't think so. I think they should do everything they should to try to get away. And I think we should be concerned about how our government is spending our money to topple governments
yeah.
all throughout the Middle East. But everybody says, oh, well, it's all in God's hands. No, I don't think so. I think God has looked to us to do something and to be concerned about what our government is doing. Because
yeah.
men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Hey, thank you so much for calling. Yes, is anything else you want to say?
No, that's it. Thank you, Dr. Stan.
God bless, and let's go then to John calling us from New York. Hi, John. How are we doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm sorry I have to disagree with some of your analysis. An example, Garfield, our 20th president, made a comment that only a few powerful men at the top control our money. Inflation and deflation very easily, and 2 weeks after that, he was assassinated. As we see money manipulated, when Clinton was in office, we went from the measure of our economy went from 6,000 up to 18,000, and everybody was rich, rich, rich. And then it went back down to 8,000 or so with Bush, and they said everybody died, and all of our stocks went to zero. But at 6,000 on that stock exchange, everybody was at kind of copacetic of a value of their stock. It was a huge robbery that took place. If you take the confidential annual financial reports, it shows the IRS generates money in three different ways that create $300 billion of profit a month and only costs them $27 billion a month to pay the bills. And you see them spending money wildly where they want to spend money. The HR bill, 658 with 30,000 drones at 600 flying hours, 250 million rounds of bullets. 2,700 light-duty tanks with another additional 1.6 billion of bullets. They have money for anything they want to do, and you have things like just in New York State recently, they said they had a protest on the lawn of Albany, and it's like a 3-4 acre lawn, and it cost them $60,000 to correct that lawn. Well, I'm sorry, I'm a farmer, and I could do 3-4 acres of lawn for a couple $1,000s. It didn't cost no $60,000 in the middle of winter. You didn't grow sod. You didn't do nothing else. It's just a ballooning of numbers to say that they spent money the same as when Lewinsky got, they said they had closure with Lewinsky and they spent $40 billion. Well, who the hell?
Okay, John, I agree with you. We got real problems. God bless you. Thanks very much for calling.
Most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. She misuse it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4-6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730. And ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and suddenly we have a gentleman calling in who's asking, would it be better to invest in gold? Would it be better to invest in silver? How would you respond to him, Ron?
Well, I'd start off with a statement that I've been making for over 10 years. I've made it thousands of times on the air, and the clients that I've talked to, and here's what I've said. At this moment in history, silver is not only the greatest investment opportunity you have ever had or will ever have in your life. It quite literally, at this point in time, is the greatest investment opportunity of world history. I think that makes a rather bodacious statement that I think silver is a good investment. But the reason I make that investment, it sounds so crazy. I want people to say, Ron, that sounds so out of a park. Why don't you explain why you think that? And that's what I want people to understand what's really going on in the silver market. You see, silver for thousands of years was money. And starting in the Industrial Revolution, let's say, well, actually started back in 1850, when Clive developed photography, silver became irreplaceable as an industrial because it's the best conductor of light. So it became irreplaceable in the photographic industry. A few years later, we developed electronics. Whoops, silver happened be the best conductor of electricity. So it became irreplaceable in all sorts of electronic applications. So throughout the 1900s, the industrial demand for silver started to be soared upward. By the late 50s and the early 60s, there wasn't enough silver being mined or produced to take care of both the monetary needs, so this was the coin is for most countries around the world, and the industrial needs. So what happened is Lyndon Johnson back in 1963, I'll never forget this because I was a senior at LSU taking my first course in economics course in monetary theory, and that's when you get into discussing money in the Federal Reserve System. When President Johnson came out and he said, "My fellow Americans, silver has become too valuable to be used as money." And what did he do? He demonetized silver. We dumped somewhere around 10 billion ounces of silver around the world that had taken thousands of years to accumulate. That glutted the world with silver, drove the price so ridiculously low that the mining industry just dried up. So for the next 60 years, we've been literally consuming our seed corn. But now we're down to the point where what was 10 billion ounces 60 years ago, most of the experts would say there's only a billion ounces that could possibly come into the market today. So if you put that into perspective, $30 billion would buy all the silver in the world, and yet Bernanke is printing $85 billion every month. In other words, just the Federal Reserve is printing enough money to buy two times the world's supply of silver every month. So I think silver is going to go ballistic. And we've consumed so much silver over the last 50 years, there's actually more ounces of gold above ground than there is silver. So I think that paints a pretty good picture that I think silver is the best investment.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you so much.
Okay, God bless. And whereabouts you're calling from?
I'm Cincinnati.
Okay, fine. God bless. Thanks very much. Okay. Well, we're having some problems with some of our stations, but anyway, we hope you're going to get it all working out. And so we're just a little erratic this evening because our regular engineer is not here, so our producer is having to carry the ball. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our producer's back, so they'll answer the phone for you. We've had a number of people calling in, couldn't get through. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for our guest, Ron Brown, but go ahead. Ron, would you like to put out your telephone number to tell people how they get in touch with you?
Sure. My telephone number is 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561.
Okay, fine. So what will happen if they do call you? What will you do? You have any sort of publications or any information you can get to them about what's going on?
You know, I used to write letters, and what I do now, there's so many brilliant people out there that what I do is I read articles, you know, dozens of articles a week, and when I see articles that I think are very important, I will forward those to people on my email list. So if you'd like to be on my email list, just call and call me at that number tomorrow morning, at least.
Okay, fine. Give that telephone number one more time.
That's 1-800-595-0561.
Okay, fine. Well, let's go to Ron, who's calling us from Washington. Once again, our telephone number is 1-888. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here at the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And hi, Ron. How are we doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Hi, Ron.
I
just
had
a question. I was reading on WorldNet Daily about the Illinois Precious Metal Purchasing Act, which would require every gold and silver transaction to be registered with the state. I don't know if Ron's familiar with that.
What's state passed that legislation?
Illinois.
Okay, fine. So Illinois has a new how recent is that bill?
Well, let's see. They passed it in the Senate last spring, and they're considering amendments. Amendment Run. I'm just reading off the WorldNet Daily article. Amendment Run reads: authorizes inspection of records by local police departments, requires reports to law enforcement on a daily basis, exempts persons licensed under the Pawnbroker Regulation Act. So I don't know how that would apply to people out of state or anything else.
Well, this is basically for anybody buying gold or silver.
I believe so. I'm not sure.
All right. But, Ron, do you know anything at all about that?
No, but there are all sorts of legislatures around the country that are trying to come up with certain type of legislation to discourage the ownership of guns, or to discourage the ownership of guns, right? I got a call today from a client in Connecticut, and he said they passed some draconian laws on gun control, you know. So, you know, what we're really coming down to is a battle between states' rights and the power of the federal government.
But even basically a lot of this legislation is being passed at the state level because the wicked and evil people have gotten into the states and they rig a lot of our elections until we get back to paper ballots and hand counting rather than machine balloting, because every one of those machines can be and many of them are rigged. And there are literally thousands of voting irregularities last November, literally none of which have ever been investigated. So until we start getting an honest elections run, nothing's going to change, and we're not going to get honest elections unless the people are up in arms and demand that we have direct voting, and that is paper ballots counted at hand, and people correlating and checking and checking, and any precinct which will not allow, certainly, people to watch the votes being counted, nothing from that county, nothing from that precinct should be included in the vote. Go right ahead, Ron.
Well, I'm from New Mexico, and one of my clients called a couple of weeks ago and said there's a bill in the New Mexico legislature that would force all these pawn shops and gold and silver dealers, in other words, the people to buy scrap gold from the public, they're passing draconian laws where you would have to take down the driver's license and the address, and you would have to take pictures of each item that you bought, and you would have to write a report on each one. In other words, it would just make it almost impossible for those local dealers to deal in gold and silver because it would just be such a burden they couldn't handle it. So they're going to do everything they can to make it difficult. But bottom line is this is a confidence game, and when you overstep the line, I have a facetious statement I make. I say there's a new golden rule, and that says you will get my gold only after you get my gun out of my gold in hand. People are being forced to wake up and draw a line in the sand, and who knows when they're going to do it. But if we don't, then the whole nation will go into tyranny.
Okay, Ron, anything else you'd like to say? Ron from Washington, that is.
Yeah, nothing, sir. I just wanted to run that by Mr. Brown.
Okay, fine. Appreciate your call.
Yes, sir.
Okay, fine. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you're out there and have a question or comment, give us a call. But basically, as far as I'm concerned, our country's in terrible financial shape. You're being lied to by the media. You're being lied to by government officials. You're being lied to by the people at the banks. They know certainly the terrible straits that we're in. And basically, I think it was John Adams who said, you know, there are two ways to destroy a nation. One is by invasion. The other is to destroy its monetary system. And they've effectively destroyed our monetary system. The dollar has lost 96% of its value since 1913, and certainly in just 100 years. The dollar has lost 96% of its value, and anybody who is foolish enough to keep their money their wealth in money has simply lost it. And unfortunately, people look at a dollar bill and they think it has real value. It has no value at all. It is all a matter of perception. And my fear is that when people begin to understand that the monetary system is fraudulent, there's going to be panic. That's why people, at least I hope our listeners, will begin to move to protect themselves today. Would that be a fair assessment, Braun?
Absolutely. You know, I'd like to make one other point. I live here in Colorado now, and the state of Colorado has been threatening to write strict gun laws. And what happened is the sheriffs, I don't know what percentage of them, probably somewhere around 90 to 95% of the sheriffs, came together and made a statement that said, we will not violate our oath of office and enforce gun laws, which are part of the Second Amendment. And I haven't read the details of it, but I think the governor came out and made the statement he would bring in federal agents to override the sheriff. So that's another example of your drawing the lines between state rights and the federal power. And so that battle will be fought, and it's being fought as we speak. You know, we had the same problem down in Arizona where the state was trying to do things with illegal aliens, and the to get the federal government to step in to block it. So the battle lines are being drawn, and it's coming down, and it's the way things are starting to unravel, I think, it will be sooner rather than later.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-2295. And certainly we're going to be having Sheriff Mack on with us a couple of times in the next couple of weeks. And he's leading this movement of sheriffs across America who are standing up. There's almost 400 of them who've said we're not going to go along with the federal government. There's several hundred more who are seriously considering joining this effort. And basically, the sheriff is the highest elected official in our community. And he has to certainly be there to protect us from excesses by the federal government, from this small little clique that controls our federal government. And you look at these people, they go from one position to another, from congressman to state governor of the state. And basically, how do they get elected over and over again? Why, the elite, what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, puts up the money to get them elected. They control the media, and you never hear about the good people running. All you hear about, of course, is about the establishment politicians who go from office to office to office. It's time the people got involved and started trying to take America back. Because we either take America back and get back to our Constitution that limits the power of the bureaucracy and the politicians over our lives, or America as we know it, will soon become simply a remembrance of things past. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Ron, are you hearing from new people all the time, or is it pretty much just the old people that have been buying gold and silver all along? Or is there certainly more new people coming down the line?
You know, I'm glad you asked that, Dr. Stan. I think on the last show I made the statement that for the first 2.5 to 3 months of this year, my business has been the slowest it's been in 10 or 12 years. But just in the last 2 weeks, especially since that Cyprus event, all of a sudden things are just exploding. And so all it takes, you know, for the last 2 years, they've held gold in check and silver in check. Silver was almost $50 an ounce, 2 years ago? And here we are at $26, $27. So they've got it down almost 50% over 2 years, and that kind of wears people out, you know. And of course, in the meantime, they're trying to create the illusion that the stock market's in recovery, the real estate market's in recovery. So why buy gold and silver if it's not doing anything and the other financial markets are recovering? So people have been just kind of dead in the water, but all of a sudden this Cyprus thing has waking up people more than anything, because it's spreading fear through the whole world that your money in your banking account is no longer safe. And so I think we're at the point where things are about ready to snap, and it's going to start exploding up.
Well, it's really very interesting. They announced again that, of course, the unemployment rate is down. The unemployment rate is down. Isn't that great? Well, of course, the reason the unemployment rate is down is because about 500,000 people have simply quit looking for work. And there are more people unemployed now. But suddenly, the employment means unemployment means you're looking for work. But there are people who are just not working. So you've got to differentiate unemployment from people not working. And basically, if you look at the U6 level of unemployment, don't look at what they tell you through the controlled media. Go to the government's own U6 unemployment figures. And you'll find out that the U6 unemployment is not 7.6. The U6 is over 14%. Those are the unemployed, the underemployed, and those people have simply given up looking for work, and you're talking well over 14%. And if you look at John Williams, who actually calculates this the way they used to, it's up over 22%. U6 unemployment, unemployed, underemployed, or simply given up looking for work. And you're never going to hear that through the controlled media. Well, Ron, certainly we've only got a few minutes more. What's the message you would like to leave with our listeners tonight?
Well, I would just try to say to people that the system is broken. It's unraveling as we speak. Powers to be are trying to create illusions that everything is open. But you look at what's going on in Europe. You look at the Cyprus event. And more importantly, when you look at the price of gold and silver, it's so important to understand that the price of gold and silver that we get is the paper price. And that's on these futures markets where this paper price And so American people are being discouraged from buying gold and silver, but while they're being discouraged, the kings of the East are absorbing all the gold and silver. They've got these Western bankers trapped in these short positions on the futures, and they're demanding them to take delivery. They have now created and have in place the vehicle that they will use to collapse the system whenever they're ready. Now, as long as the Western bankers can beg, borrow, and steal, is the key word, gold and silver to deliver to the East, the Chinese will smile and go along with the program. But when they're ready to pull the plug, do they have a Hong Kong exchange now to compete with New York and London for prices? So the next time, whenever they're ready to pull the plug, and these New York bankers drive the price down on the COMEX, as they did the last 2 or 3 weeks, the price will be higher on the Hong Kong, and arbiters will simply buy gold on the COMEX and sell it on the Hong Kong, falling right into the hands of the Chinese who want to buy more and more and more.
So Ron, why don't you get your telephone number out again for us, would you?
Okay, 1-800-595-0561.
One more time.
1-800-595-0561.
We're going to let you go. God bless. And thanks very much. We'll look forward to talking to you real soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do all to yourself. Being free of disease is real well. Home for Health.
There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners out across America that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there, certainly we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping us as we reach out, trying to reach people across America. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. You can subscribe to our newsletter. You may have a product you'd like to add to advertise with us. You may want to get the books or videos or DVDs or 4 CD sets that we offer. Whatever you can do, we'll appreciate it. We want to maintain our network of over 50 outlets every single week as we try to reach people and, of course, get them educated as to what's going on, because I'm really very, very seriously concerned that we're certainly moving into a very difficult time in America financially. We're moving towards an effort to disarm the American people in preparation for a dictatorship. And behind all of this is what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. And if you doubt what they really are, you would need to understand that the Trilateral Commission is the single most important organization in America today. Certainly between 1977 and the year 2008, every president and or vice president of the United States was a member of the Trilateral Commission with never more than 80 members. But go to their website, trilateral.org, trilateral.org, and look at their logo. And you'll see, well, you may agree or disagree that there are the three curved arrows, or really three sixes, but there's no question that the emblem in the middle of the logo is an upside-down broken cross. And basically, if you actually analyze that, this is an ancient emblem of the ancient mystery religions. Why would they put that in? Well, of course, the ancient mystery religions were always dedicated to establishing a powerful government, a one world government, and that's the purpose of the Trilateral Commission today. And unless you understand that there is certainly a continuity from the ancient mystery religions and the ancient secret societies to what's going on today, nothing makes any sense. Most people don't understand the influence of the Knights Templar today, or the Rosicrucians of the Illuminati, or the Masons of the Council on Foreign Relations, or the Bilderbergers of the Royal Institute for International Affairs, or certainly the Trilateral Commission. All of these things are organized, moving us towards a one-world government, a one-world financial system, and a one-world religion with the destruction of Christianity. And once you understand there's a conspiracy against Christianity, there's a conspiracy against the God of the Bible, so much of what's going on makes sense. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and read it. You need to get certainly our 4-CD set on satanic crimes. We have a book on satanic crimes. We have a 4-CD set on the supernatural. You need to understand there are supernatural forces at work out there. Certainly you need to get our 4-tape set on UFOs. Why? Because UFOs are a manifestation of the other dimension. There really is another dimension. There's a spiritual dimension behind everything that's going on today. And until you understand that we live in a material world, but there's a mystical world. We live in a subjective world, but there's a spiritual world. We live in a tangible world, but there's an intangible world. We live in certainly a world that we can see, but there is this invisible world that's out there where the supernatural forces are at work, and the eternal battle between good and evil is being waged, and we are simply there to do our best. We're to play our part. But the ultimate decision will be made by God and not by you and I. But we're called upon certainly to be involved in this battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Remember my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. You should go there. You should get our material. Read our newsletters. Certainly watch our videos. Listen to our radio programs. And then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices,
yeah.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality was usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Grigg, formerly senior editor of the New American Magazine, formerly editor of the Republic Magazine, and then certainly at the present time, a prolific writer, and you can read his articles at lourockwell.com. But, of course, he writes the monthly newsletter for Radio Liberty, and we're really pleased to have William every Friday evening at this time. Hi, William. How are we doing?
Dr. Stan, I'm livid because I just saw something that offended me down to my corpuscles or even deeper, and that is a perfectly nauseating little commercial that was done by Melissa Harris Perry. She's a personality attached to the Stalinist media outfit called MSNBC, and it's about a 15 or 20 second long advertisement in their Lean Forward campaign. I don't know if you're familiar with this, Dr. Stan, because you're probably blessedly relieved of exposure to MSNBC.
No, we don't watch MSNBC, yeah. So tell us about it.
Okay, MSNBC, for those who are privileged to be uninitiated and who have not yet been exposed to it, is the unofficial media arm of the Obama regime. And it's composed of people, with the exception of a couple of camel-fed pseudo-conservatives, who are full-blown, deep red Marxists. And they have a series of little actualities where their various personalities come on and speak in broad and vaporous tones about the need for Americans to embrace the ethic of collective responsibility, which means, in other words, your property belongs to the state, your lives belong to the state. And this most recent installment from Melissa Harris Perry is based on the idea that your children belong to the state. Yes, she had the temerity to say that the problem is you believe that your children belong to you and they don't belong to the community. Well, there was a charming community organizer who in 1933 said exactly the same thing. Your children belong to the new community now, not to your parents. That individual was a socialist by the name of Adolf Hitler. What Melissa Harris Perry's little advertisement is saying is that people have to surrender the idea that parents have some kind of authority to protect their children from the influences of those who presume to correct the defects, or what they consider to be the defects in the way that we live, with respect to our obligations to each other as defined by the Bible, as defined by our belief in God, as defined by the Golden Rule, by the Ten Commandments, and so forth. And she said that if we understand that these are our children, then we'll have a better perspective on how we should invest in their education. Of course, investment, or related terms, in this context refers to the confiscation of wealth from the productive and delivering it to the parasitical through that institutionalized larceny that we call taxes. But this is, I think, perhaps the purest expression of this irremediably evil perspective we've seen since the days of Donna Shalala, the Department of Health and Human Services, back, 20 years ago or so, where she was dreaming about a future where there would be no parents and children would be raised collectively in some kind of postmodern neo-Maoist communal society. That's the way MSNBC views the world. That's the way the Obama regime views the world. And certainly this is something that is leached into religion and academia and corporate life the way that you'd have arsenic leaching into a water table. It's almost inescapable now.
Well, I think it's very difficult for people to believe that we're moving towards this society where government controls everything, but that's exactly what the Brotherhood wants. These people who finance communism, if you haven't seen certainly my interview with Norman Dodd, Director of Research for the Reese Committee, you need to get it, called The Desperate Deception, going into the fact that the great foundations have been funding this whole thing for centuries.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Disaster can strike at any time. That's why Americans spend billions on insurance policies. But what about investing into disaster preparedness supplies, especially food? After Hurricane Sandy, people waited weeks for help to arrive. Be prepared for anything with Mountain House freeze-dried foods, the finest in the industry, packed in heavy-duty double enameled number 10 cans with over 99% of the oxygen removed for the longest shelf life of any product available. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. Save 25% on Mountain House number 10 cans, April 2nd through the 8th, with free shipping to the lower 48 states. Visit freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Get 25% off April 2nd through the 8th. Act today. Don't miss out.
Succeed as an individual.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is William Grieg, and William, go right ahead. William is simply talking about this whole philosophy that our children really don't belong to us. They belong to the state. This idea that we have to have an all-powerful state that will be able to provide for the people, because after all, there's some people who can't provide for themselves. And so what we need to do is transfer responsibility to the bureaucracy, and we'll have a much better society. But the trouble is, it just doesn't work. It was these philosophies that actually motivated and energized Adolf Hitler, and these philosophies are being actually openly advocated in America today. We're moving into a situation where the government is taking over 1/6 of the entire economy of this nation by seizing control of the medical system, and believe me, before long, elderly people will be afraid to go to the hospital, as they are in Great Britain, because they know they'll never come out alive. And I'm not talking, I'm not joking. They're killing 120,000 people. In England, they have a population of about 40 or 50 million over there. They kill 120,000 every year. But don't take my word for it. Go up and look up on the internet and simply write in British medical system kills 120,000 elderly every year. You'll find it's true. We're going to be doing that here in America. And it all gets to this system of the government must decide what's right and what's wrong. Go right ahead, William.
Yeah, you should use the search terms Liverpool pathway or Liverpool care pathway, which is the system that's been set up in the National Health Service over in Great Britain as a way of easing people who are considered to be at the end of their quality-adjusted life year span. Into oblivion. Yeah, this is developed by the Royal Liverpool University Hospital back in the late 1990s. And it was originally applied to people who were terminally ill with cancer. And, of course, the categories have expanded. And they're using this metric called quality-adjusted life years, or QALYS, Q-A-L-Y-S. If you read the literature of any of the people who are involved in collectivizing healthcare, whether the National Health Service in Great Britain or its equivalent in Canada. And certainly if you've plumbed the depth of the discussions going on in this country, in HMOs and insurance carriers, the green eyeshade set, and the very jobs who were involved in orchestrating Obamacare, you'll come across references to QALY, Q-A-L-Y-S. And this is an actuarial calculation of your quality of life and your anticipated lifespan that would be of a sufficient quality to meet the approval of the people who would be paying for your health care, the third-party administrators would be paying for your health care, whether you're talking about these government-created quasi-private corporatist HMOs where you have the decisions being made as to how much they'll pay for given treatment in terms of the third-party payer system, whether you're talking about the people who will be administering the death panels that will exist under Obamacare. This is something that I was exposed to when I was researching Obamacare in its previous iteration as Hillary Care back in 1993, 20 years ago. They were using exactly the same metrics that were being used overseas in Great Britain that gave birth, if you want to use that expression, to the Liverpool Care pathway. And it's something that has not merely been confined to elderly people with chronic or debilitating conditions, but rather the categories have expanded to include people who will have a life that is challenging but valuable to them and valuable to their loved ones, but is not seen to be a social good. That's where things get really nasty, when we start using the collective pronoun to describe human beings, individual human beings, as if we were part of one undifferentiated entity called a community. And here's something that I wish people would understand. This is a habit I'm trying to develop in my own life. Just pay attention. Listen and see how frequently you hear the word community used in a context where there is an overt but somewhat euphemistically stated demand that the individual surrender something that is precious to him or to her in the interest of the so-called common good. I think people should develop sort of an instinctive aversion to the use of that word. There are going to be contexts where it's unavoidable. For instance, there's a passage in the book of, I believe, Ephesians, where it talks about the community of people who encountering a little bit of pushback, but not nearly enough and not nearly as passionately, in my opinion, because people don't understand that they are not going to relent. What's happened in Colorado, what's happened in Connecticut, what's happened in New York, there are these measures that are being put in place actively to criminalize people who are perfectly law-abiding and peaceful citizens who possess firearms that as of, I believe, June or July in Colorado and as of January, February already in New York are now considered illicit. And there is a case in New York State where an Iraq veteran is going to be the first to be prosecuted under the new gun grab law, because a few days after that law went into effect, I don't like to dignify that enactment by calling it a law, but for the sake of conversational convenience, I will use that expression. A few days after that law, quote-unquote, went into effect, he was set up for a sting operation by a group of undercover state police officers, and he agreed to sell them an AR-15 rifle and a couple of high-capacity ammunition magazines that had been perfectly legal just a few days earlier. And they slapped the cuffs on him, and then they started to demonize him in the media as if he were a dangerous criminal. He was nothing of the sort. He was somebody who was selling something that he owned, that he had legally obtained, that he had not used to commit acts of violence against anybody. And now they have a snitch line that's been set up by the state police. Once again, the Soviet echoes and the totalitarian flavor of this are obvious. A snitch line that's been set up where anonymous reporters, anonymous informants, can earn up to $500 if they will tell authorities where the guns are. That's going on in New York State right now. And of course, New York, during the War for Independence, was a hotbed of the resistance to tyranny. It's where a lot of the colonial patriots really tested their mettle against a government, a distant tyrannical government that, in contemporary terms, is a very modest form of tyranny, if indeed tyranny at all, trying to put down an insurrection by people that didn't want to be disarmed and didn't want to be taxed. That was New York in the late 18th century. New York in the early 21st century is, and unfortunately, we're not talking about upstate New York, we're talking about primarily Westchester County and, of course, the five boroughs. It's a hotbed of modern collectivism, Commissar Michael Bloomberg is a really good example of the type of people we're talking about. Here's somebody who believes that down to the salt content, trans fat content, and calorie content of your food, he has the supposed right and authority to micromanage your life. Just a couple of weeks ago, he was on, I believe it was Meet the Press, and he said, obviously, there are times when it's a good idea to infringe your freedoms for your own good. Now, this is the native tongue that these people speak. This is how they see the world. They see themselves as being made out of more refined stuff than the rest of humanity and elevated to a position over the rest of us, not by, well, of course, not by providence, not by divinity, not by God, in whom they do not believe, by history or by some disembodied force of nature. They've been made part of the vanguard of humanity, and it's simply their bounden right to dictate, and it's our responsibility to take dictation from them. And so it shouldn't surprise us that we see these things happening. What does surprise me somewhat is the brazenness, the audacity on the part of many of these people now. Perhaps they've calculated that they enjoy a certain liberty in the second term of Barack Obama to express themselves more candidly than they had before his second inaugural. And this is something else that you get if you're exposed to MSNBC for any length of time. And as I pointed out before, we don't have cable TV in our home. That's a lifestyle choice for obvious reasons. But when we go to do some errands or some of the places that we visit during the week, we will unfortunately find ourselves being on the receiving end of propaganda fusillades, either by Fox News or MSNBC. And they're peddling exactly the same ideas pitched in a slightly different key and addressing slightly different audiences. But MSNBC constantly is harping on the idea that the central government obviously must be made the dominant defining influence the lives of each of us and all of us in the interest of this thing they call the community. And each one of their lean forward spots is a little Maoist panegyric to the wisdom of the dear leader and the sanctity of his agenda, and a blast against the cravenness of reactionaries like you and me who oppose these things.
And I think it's so important. You mentioned Fox News. The average American doesn't understand that the Wall Street Journal just happens to be controlled by the same people who control Fox News, by Rupert Murdoch. And suddenly, if you begin reading them very carefully, you'll notice that the whole thrust of their arguments has changed. And more they accept statism. Oh, they give the conservative line, but they leave out the important and convincing arguments for it. We'll be back in a moment with William Creek.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do all to self, being free of diseases, real well. Home for Health.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and William is talking about the United Nations treaty, the Arms Control Treaty, supposedly. Oh, it would not affect individuals at all. It's just howitzers. And, I mean, how many people want to have a howitzer in the living room? Well, of course, this is not about howitzers. This is about your guns. That's what they want. They want to disarm the people. They want a world dictatorship. There is a small group of very wealthy and powerful people. I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness. Some people call them the Power Elite. Some people call them the order, some people call them the invisible government. Doesn't matter what you call them. Basically, they're real, they exist, they are coordinated, and they want to disarm the people so that they can slaughter them. And basically, they want to control them. And as people do not understand, this is a subversive movement that permeates every aspect of what's going on in Washington, D.C. today. It is subversive. But they control the media, so most people are really totally unaware of what's going on. Go right ahead.
That's exactly right. And with this treaty, if you read the 15 pages of it, and I wouldn't recommend it because it's really an exercise in immense frustration for those of us who appreciate clarity and concision in expression, you'll come away not understanding, most likely, unless you've spent time immersed in the United Nations system as I have, that this document is a patent act of deception. Its advertised purpose is to prevent the transfer of battlefield suitable armaments to non-state actors such as, and I'm quoting now from Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, warlords, pirates, terrorists, criminals, and their like. This is the advertised purpose of this supposed treaty. But it has nothing to do with preventing the transfer of such weapons to such people. As a matter of fact, the only thing that it would do, assuming that it would serve any purpose remotely akin to its advertised purpose, would be to create a mechanism for keeping track of the transfer of weapons to such non-state actors as warlords, pirates, terrorists, criminals, and so forth. There's nothing in this document that would create what the United Nations would consider a binding international obligation not to transfer weapons to such people. As a matter of fact, there are several places in this treaty where there is explicit recognition that there is a supposed right by state parties to this convention to transfer weapons to terrorist groups and other non-state actors. You can justify this as a matter of policy. There's nothing in this UN treaty that would prevent it. But what it does is it establishes national registries, and it establishes the idea that every national government should have control over small arms and light weapons. In other words, within the supposed monopoly, the presumed monopoly of force that the United Nations would exercise globally, every national government would have an exclusive national franchise on the ownership of firearms. And this is something that they've been promoting now for 60 years. Actually, almost 60 years. It's been about 55 or 60 years that they've been promoting the idea that every national government should have an undifferentiated monopoly on the use of force that would include firearms and, of course, all of the military hardware. And since 1959, there have been a number of programs that the United States government has promoted that would be involved in not merely transferring weaponry to the United Nations for battlefield use for the UN Peace Force, but also to put the United Nations in charge of the internal security apparatus, police forces of the various constituent member states. And each police force would have a monopoly on weaponry. And this treaty is meant to advance this design, the idea that there would be what some other people call norms of non-possession. And a norm of non-possession, in simpler terms, would mean that it's just to be expected that civilians would have no right to keep firearms. There's nothing in this treaty that recognizes an individual right to own firearms, to use firearms, because in the United Nations system, they don't recognize that. And it's important to recognize, once again, that the United Nations is an assembly of governments, and every government wants to create a monopoly on force. And where you have the Second Amendment, or an equivalent document, recognizing the innate right of the individual to armed self-defense, the government doesn't have a monopoly on force. Now, it happens, we're the only country where this is the case. No other country in the history of mankind has had a national charter that has recognized that the government being created by that charter does not have a monopoly on force. We're unique in that respect. And it's that uniqueness that now is being challenged by an administration that doesn't recognize the right to armed self-defense, and by all these elements of the culture, all these organs of cultural influence that are working to disarm the American public in the name of supposedly protecting us, thereby creating a monopoly on the part of the most violent element of society that historically has been involved in the most prolific bloodshed. So that's where we stand on that issue right now, and it's not going to get any better anytime soon.
No, I'm afraid you're right. Well, I guess this evening is William Craig. We're going to be back here in just a moment as we expand on this concept that there are those, a subversive element working in the United Nations, but also working with what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness right here in America to limit the right of the people to be armed so they can enslave them. William, you go right ahead.
Here are a couple of examples of what I'm talking about regarding the the larger discussion here that is the framework for this treaty that was produced by the United Nations. In Article 11 of this new treaty, there's a section dealing with diversion of weaponry, and it points out that the parties to this convention would work to mitigate the risk that weapons would fall into the hands of criminals or terrorists, and that they would share relevant information on effective measures to address diversion. There's nothing in there, however, that forbids diversion from states to non-state actors such as terrorists. For instance, the government in Washington is arming and training the Islamist elements of the Free Syrian Army, which is trying to overthrow an admittedly horrible government in Damascus. And in doing so, it's providing firearms and battlefield suitable weapons and tactical intelligence to a group that includes Al-Qaeda in Iraq, or at least the group that was known as Al-Qaeda in Iraq, when they were in Iraq fighting against U.S. and allied forces there. These are people who are vicious, despicable, loathsome, bloodthirsty killers who have been very much a part of this saturnalia bloodshed that has led to 70,000 people being killed in the last couple of years. That's exactly the sort of thing that this treaty was supposedly interdicting, and there's nothing in that treaty that would prevent the transfer of firearms to the so-called Free Syrian Army. Interestingly enough, there's a U.S. Army veteran by the name of Harun. I think his first name is Eric Harun, if I remember correctly. His last name is definitely Harun. He's from Arizona. He's on trial right now, or at least he's been indicted by the federal government, because he volunteered to fight with the Free Syrian Army, and in the course of doing so, he used a rocket-propelled grenade, which is one of the small arms and light weapons referred to in this treaty. And this was described as a weapon of mass destruction because he was a non-state actor who was carrying out a policy that the U.S. government supports without the U.S. government's explicit permission. Now, he would be considered a criminal for doing this, but the State Department and the CIA would not be considered to be criminal actors when they are doing exactly the sort of thing that Mr. Harun was doing.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and William is simply talking about a gentleman, an American veteran of Muslim origin, who now has been indicted. He had actually, after getting out of the military, he had volunteered to go back over and fight for the Free Syrian Army, which, of course, we're backing, we're training, we're financing, we're arming. And he went over there and was fighting with them against the government of Assad in Syria, and he used a rocket-propelled grenade. Now, he has been arrested, and he's going to be set to on trial and probably sent to prison for actually carrying out a program which is being financed and sponsored by our own government, because we are the major force behind the arming and the financing and the training of the terrorist army, the Al-Qaeda and other Islamic terrorists associated with the Muslim Brotherhood who are fighting certainly in Syria today. Go right ahead.
That's exactly right. This is not the first case of this sort, but it is one of the more conspicuous examples of a principle that, of all the unlikely people, Bill Clinton articulated. Now, Bill Clinton, of course, was not criticizing what I'm about to describe, but a few years ago, he gave an interview to Foreign Policy magazine, which is published, I believe, by the, for heaven's sake, which the foundation is published.
The Carnegie
people, so-called the people who brought us the buildup for World War One a century ago. Are the ones who publish Foreign Policy. And so he gave an interview where he was asked to talk about terrorism. He said a terrorist is somebody who is involved in international acts of violence and coercion that are not authorized by government. So a terrorist is somebody who privatizes the criminal corruption and violence that characterizes official public policy when carried out by the government. The government does it, it's called policy. When private actors do it, it's called terrorism. So this is a museum quality display of what Mr. Clinton was talking about here. He's being prosecuted for privately pursuing the same policy that Washington is pursuing as a matter of public agenda. And he's using, Mr. Harun was using an RPG of the sort that's used by the U.S. military pretty much everywhere in the world where the military is deployed. They will have rocket-propelled grenades. It's a very standard battlefield tactical weapon. But it was described as a weapon of mass destruction in the indictment. So a weapon of mass destruction is pretty much any weapon that's in the hands of somebody who is not authorized to kill and maim and commit property damage by the government of the United States. In the same sense to the rogue state is any government on the face of the earth that isn't taking dictation from Washington and London and its allies. Now, this, I said once again, is a pretty good illustration of the sort of thing that is encoded in this UN arms treaty, because there's nothing in the treaty that would provide any kind of institutional check on the transfer of weapons of that kind from a government that's a party to that treaty and a terrorist group such as the New Syrian Army. Although, conceivably, if you're a private citizen, you could find yourself being prosecuted if you're involved in exactly the same activity. In another section, in Article, I believe, Article 3 of this treaty, we read that every government that signs this gun control treaty shall agree to create a national control system to regulate the export of all ammunition and munitions. And this is described as the primary responsibility of all the states that are party to that treaty. The document, as I mentioned before, makes repeated reference to the inherent right of states. I don't believe the states have rights. I believe they have delegated limited powers. but the document refers to the inherent right of states to arm themselves and to control the weaponry within the boundaries over which they claim authority. But there is not a syllable anywhere in the document recognizing the divinely instilled right of the individual to armed self-defense. And this is of a piece with documents the United Nations has put out since at least 1959 or 1960 or so. Back in the year 2000, I attended the Millennium Summit at the United Nations headquarters in New York. And this was referred to as a gathering of international civil society, which means pretty much foundation-funded radical groups and people who were front groups for the IMF, the World Bank. And the document that was put out at that summit by then-Secretary General Kofi Annan was called We the People. Once again, that's the opening phrase from the preamble to the United Nations Charter. And in the official 2000 report, We the Peoples, Kofi Annan said the following, controlling the proliferation of illicit weapons is a necessary first step toward the non-proliferation of small arms. These weapons must be brought under the control of states, and states must be held responsible for their transfer. Now, for illicit, you should read civilian-owned, because in that same year, the United Nations put out an officially sanctioned propaganda video called Armed to the Teeth, talking about the worldwide plague of small arms, and it was all about guns. That was the only type of small arms referred to in that official UN documentary. It didn't refer to howitzers, didn't refer to RPGs, didn't refer to any of the armored vehicles that are sometimes referred to under the rubric here of small arms and light weapons. It was talking about guns. More specifically, it was talking about handguns. And in the UN propaganda documentary, there was repeated and explicit mention of the idea that only police and military officials should have firearms, that nobody else is authorized by whatever agency the United Nations believes is responsible for the laws that we obey to own firearms. So when Kofi Annan said illicit arms must be brought under the control of states, he's referring to civilian-owned firearms. Now, Kofi Annan, as I mentioned before, is somebody who has a certain history here when it comes to civilian disarmament. 20 years ago, actually not quite 20 years ago, it was December of 1993, there was a UN peacekeeping force in the nation of Rwanda, which was under the command of then-Lieutenant Colonel Romeo Dallaire from Canada. And Lieutenant Colonel Dallaire learned through an intelligence informant that the government of Rwanda, under the Hutu-dominated regime, there are two main ethnic groups in that country, the Hutus and the Tutsis. They don't much resemble each other in terms of their somatotype. The Tutsis are tall and willowy. The Hutus look like, well, me. They're sort of short and heavy. But the Hutu government at the time was the ethnic group, the Hutus were the ethnic group dominating the government, and it was revealed to Lieutenant Colonel Dallaire, the commander of the multinational peacekeeping force there, that was presiding over a peace treaty that dictated the disarmament of the civilian population. That's an important point. Don't forget this. The informant told him that the Hutu dominated government planned to massacre the entire Tutsi population. He learned this in December of 1993. In early January, he sent a fax to UN headquarters in New York outlining what he had learned and what he had been able to corroborate about this planned massacre and asking for permission to disarm the government militias. There were government-controlled quasi-private militias, in addition to police and military units, that were going to be using arms caches to round people up so they could be slaughtered. And he received a fax reply within a few hours telling him that he was not authorized to disarm the government forces or the government-aligned militias. That would exceed his mandate. He was authorized to disarm the civilian population, but he had no mandate from the UN to disarm the government. In other words, he was to enforce that government's monopoly on the use of firearms, its monopoly on coercion. And he was also told that he had to share his intelligence with the government that was planning the massacre. In other words, he was told to burn his informant. And within a few weeks, beginning of April, April 4th or April 6th of 1994, the massacre began after the president of the country died in an airplane crash. And for 100 days, people were rounded up by government forces or by government-aligned and authorized militias. These were people who had automatic weapons. They were rounded up, that they were taken out and slaughtered by people who wielded machetes. Everybody remembers people being hacked to death by machetes, as sort of the defining iconic image of the Rwandan genocide. But they don't see that just beyond the camera range, there were people who had automatic weapons. None of the people who were being massacred, of course, had the means to defend themselves. They'd been disarmed by the United Nations peacekeepers. Now, Romeo Dallaire, who, in spite of the fact that he's a globalist and a Canadian from a military that's entirely owned and operated by the UN, is somebody I consider to be, within that context, a rather honorable man because he did what he could to stop what he saw coming. And he was forbidden to do anything. And this, of course, had a terrible impact on him, especially when he saw the troops over whom he had been given operational command being mowed down by many of the same butchers that they had helped to empower. And this is a perfect example of that line from Proverbs about how the pit that you dig, you'll fall into it. So these people had dug a pit that was supposed to be a mass grave for the Rwandan Tutsi population, and many of the peacekeepers themselves ended up being flung into it, or at least their butchered and eviscerated remains were. But Mr. Dallaire, Colonel Dallaire, Lieutenant Colonel Dallaire, had done what he could to prevent this, and he wasn't able to. And so he went back to Canada suffering from five or six different varieties of post-traumatic stress disorder and simple shock. And within a couple of years, through a combination of his psychological breakdown and alcoholism, he was living on the streets. A reporter for one of the major news organizations found him freezing to death under a park bench in Hull, Quebec, I believe in 1996 or 1997, and got him some help. I was able to interview him for a couple of hours about 13 years ago, and we had a pretty candid discussion, as they like to say in diplomatic communiques. Our discussion was candid, meaning we disagreed about most things. But he was very forthright about what had happened and the horrors that he had seen. And the thing is, his commander, his civilian commander, the head of the peacekeeping division of the UN, the Undersecretary General for Peacekeeping Affairs, was Kofi Annan. And Kofi Annan, was promoted after the Rwandan genocide to the Secretary General post. He's the only official I can think of on whose watch a genocidal massacre took place because he'd helped facilitate it, who was promoted rather than prosecuted. Now, the man who tried to prevent it ended up almost dying on the streets of a small town in Quebec. And this guy, the guy who facilitated and had guilty foreknowledge of it, ended up becoming the Secretary General of the UN and winning the Nobel Peace Prize in I believe, 1999 or 2000.
Let me just interject here that I also had the opportunity of interviewing the general. We actually have that in a four-tape set called Rwanda. And basically, it goes into the background of that horrible, horrible slaughter of about 800,000 people, most predominantly Christians.
Yes.
And basically, we even have a headline out of the New York Times where basically Bill Clinton is quoted as saying, don't use the word genocide in reference to what's going on in Rwanda, because if you use the word genocide, then we'd have to intervene. Bill Clinton knew what was going on. He knew they were going to slaughter 800,000 Christians. And he said, don't use the word genocide because we'd have to intervene. And this is the man who today is lauded and applauded by our media and looked at as such a great leader. He should be behind bars. He is as guilty as the Hutu servicemen who were certainly supporting the slaughter. But we never talk about that sort of thing today. We never talk about the fact that they were Christians, predominantly Christians, that they were slaughtered. And Bill Clinton said, don't use the word genocide, because if you do, we'd have to intervene. Go right ahead.
That's, of course, a really good example of Clintonian word manipulation. There's a school of semantics that one could call Clintonian, where if you refer to something by a name other than that which people are familiar with, that changes, or at least is perceived to change, the moral quality of what's under the discussion. He's, of course, the same trans-cynical Philadelphia lawyer-type Shylock who said it depends upon what the meaning of the word is. I mean, is has a settled and established meaning. Going all the way back to the very origins of language, people know what that verb means. But Bill Clinton was trying to find some way that he could denature that word into meaning something other than what it obviously meant. The same thing happened, of course, with the question of genocide. And I've seen a documentary, I believe Frontline did, a number of years ago. You've probably seen it as well. You're probably familiar with it, Dr. Stan, where there was a steady parade of underlings in the Clinton administration who went out of their way in indulging in verbal contortions that are the spoken equivalent of what a Cirque du Soleil dancer does with his body to avoid the use of the word genocide to describe the systematic slaughter of the predominantly Christian Tutsi population in Rwanda after they had been disarmed. And it's that last clause of that preceding sentence that I want to focus on. They had been disarmed because the idea behind the UN's vision of collective security or human security is that we can trust our national governments to take care of us once we've been disarmed. Because if our national governments become feral, then the international civil society, the international community, and there's that word again that I've started to loathe so heartily, community, will intervene on our behalf.
I'm going to have to interrupt you there, because before we get to the end of the program, which is rapidly approaching, I want you to get out your website, tell people how they can get the material that you actually publish, and then how they can get to your PayPal button. And we would simply point out that William does write my monthly Radio Liberty newsletter. I've certainly gotten to the point now where it just takes too much time, and he does a wonderful job. You can read it at our website, RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. But, William, how can people get to your website, how they can get to your material, and how can they get to your material at Lou Rockwell, and how can they get to your PayPal button?
I really appreciate that, Dr. Stan. My chief outlet is still the Pro Libertate blog. And you can find that by going to a search engine and typing in Pro Libertate and Grig, P-R-O-L-I-B-E-R-T-A-T-E, and then my last name is spelled G-R-I-G-G. It's Griggs without the S. For some reason, Griggs is a more common name than Grig. I don't know why. Or you can go to the direct web address, which is freedominourtime.blogspot.com. Freedom in Our Time is written as one word. freedominourtime.blogspot.com. And I try to publish a new essay there once or twice a week. My current essay, as a matter of fact, deals with the UN's gun grab treaty and its pedigree and its intention. LouRockwell.com frequently republishes my material. As a matter of fact, it has republished my essay on the UN's gun grab treaty. L-E-W Rockwell is the name. LouRockwell.com. L-E-W-Rockwell.com. And I also contribute frequently to the blog on that website, which is found at the right-hand margin of the screen if you go to LouRockwell.com. And you mentioned, Dr. Stan, that you write the newsletter for Radio Liberty, and I intend to have a new edition ready by early next week. You mentioned as well that I have a PayPal button at the bottom of every essay on Pro Libertate. Once again, that's Pro Libertate or freedominourtime.blogspot.com, the PayPal button at the bottom of the page. And that is our chief means of supporting my family and keeping what I do by way of my journalistic enterprise up and running. I really do appreciate everything that you've done on our behalf, our family's behalf, the generosity of so many of your listeners. That's been what has sustained us, and we really do need help. People can provide it. Once again, the PayPal button is at the bottom of every essay at Pro Libertate, and it's freedominourtime.blogspot.com.
And of course, Barbara and I do support William. He has six children, and Sydney, he has to do an awful lot of the work up there to keep the family together. And he's a prolific writer. You get his articles. One of the finest minds, I think, in the conservative movement today, which is, of course, why we've asked him to write our monthly newsletter. And, of course, if you subscribe to it or join the Radio Liberty family, you'll get it routinely. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, William, we have 3 minutes for you to wrap up tonight's program.
Dr. Stan, once again, it's always a blessing to be with you, and particularly on an evening like this when I am so frustrated and so infuriated over that commercial that I referred to at the beginning of this discussion, it's good to know that I can discuss these issues with somebody and not have to restrain myself, that I can spare no arrows, as John Knox said in writing his essays condemning the tyranny under which he lived. This is the environment in which we live right now. We really find ourselves encircled and enveloped and in terrestrial terms and temporal terms, our situation does seem somewhere in the neighborhood of hopeless. I really don't want to minimize or understate the seriousness of what we confront right now when we've gotten to the point where the Bank of England and the FDIC can tell us in so many words that they are willing to confiscate our bank accounts, is what happened in Cyprus. It's just like what happened in Cyprus a couple of weeks ago. Next time there is a financial crash, this is something that we have to understand and take at face value. When the government is buying 2 billion rounds of ammunition and then up-armoring every element of the bureaucracy capable of becoming a police agency, that's something to which we have to pay attention. And when somebody from MSNBC brazenly says, your kids belong to us, we have to look at them as the collective property of society, that's the sort of thing that, once again, should mentally have us remove the safety catches on the intellectual equivalent of our firearms, because they're serious about this. They're deadly serious. They're beyond deadly serious. And when the President of the United States claims in so many words that he has the ability, the power, and the responsibility to kill an American citizen by a drone strike, if he's convinced that citizen is an irremediable enemy of the state, that's something, of course, to which we have to give appropriate attention as well. These are the evil times in which we live, and I'm afraid they're going to ripen into an even more pungent and potent variety of evil before things get better. And that's what we have to confront, and we have to confront it not only by getting on our knees and supplicating the blessings of providence, but then getting off our knees and confronting our enemy and saying, this far and no further.
I agree with you totally. I think we live in very, very difficult times. There is no statute of limitation on murder. I believe the President of the United States is guilty of murder when he orders a drone strike on an American citizen who is critical of the United States living over in Yemen, but certainly there's no evidence that he had killed anybody. But it was his defenseless 16-year-old son looking for his father, who President Obama also ordered murdered as basically a case in point. We get the father, we get the children as well. A horrible thing to think of, but this is going on. We'll be back in just a moment here to sign off this evening. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Once again, our guest has been William Grieg. William, one more time, get your telephone number out there and your webpage, and then we'll let you go and get some sleep.
Appreciate that. freedominourtime.blogspot.com is the direct address for Pro Libertate, the blog. You can go to Google or another search engine and type in Pro Libertate and Grieg. That should be the first return. freedominourtime.blogspot.com and the PayPal button to the bottom of the page.
All right, good night. God bless, and we'll be talking to you next week.
God bless, Dr.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was William Grieg. Always one of the high points of my week, a discussion with William. And then, of course, this is the time when I need to remind all of our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there and you agree with us, you think our message is important, if you think we're living in dire times and we need a voice such as ours, then we'll speak out without fear about the fact that we have a small little group, I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness, who control both political parties and make mockery of our electoral process. If you agree that we are in dire circumstances and that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization, then we hope you'll want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or subscribe to our newsletter or perhaps advertise with us or get our various products that we offer, not only books and DVDs and CD sets or tape sets, but also we carry a line of spices, of health products, of Miracle 2 products, including certainly the various types of gels and soaps, and also the Berkey products, including a shower filter. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Why do we carry all those things? Well, to subsidize this, we've got to come up with $500,000 a year. Of course, we put a great deal of our own money into this through the years. And certainly up until last year, we've been doing fairly well for a series of years, but last year was not good because of the recession. So if you were in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. Again, our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 or 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we are at war today. America is under attack on every front. Now, of course, you need, of course, to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get our talks on Agenda 21, the Agenda 21, the Covert Plan, or certainly population control, the covert agenda, because they've already killed several billion people. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they've killed several billion people, and you need to know how they're doing it, and you and your family are targeted. And if you've never seen the Georgia Guidestones, as I have there in Elberton, Georgia, where they lay out the secret plan from the dark side. And what is it? Well, point number one in 8 different languages, there are the Georgia Guidestones erected by a secret society. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, erected by a secret society. And point number one of the 10 commandments that come from the dark side, printed in 8 different languages, is maintain humanity at less than 500 million in constant balance with nature. It doesn't sound so bad until you realize, of course, we have over 7 billion people in the world today, and they want to maintain humanity at less than 500 million. That means they're going to be killing off over 6.5 billion people, but they've already killed a couple of billion. You need to get my talk on planned population reduction, and then dare call it genocide, or population control, the covert agenda, or we cover much of this in my talk on Agenda 21, the covert plan. You get a syllabus with that. And this doesn't quote what I say, it's their documents. And just if you haven't heard the talk on the, it's a 4-CD set on the New Order of the Barbarians, the New Order of the Barbarians, where Dr. Dedekin, we interview a text about a talk given in 1969 by Dr. Richard Day, the medical director of Planned Parenthood, and Dr. Day basically talks about that they have treatments for cancer. But they're going to keep them locked up. People have to die of sometime. They have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer, so they'll keep the cures for cancer locked up in the basement of the Rockefeller Foundation. Those are his words, not mine. You need to hear this most incredible CD set, and then we ask you to pray for America, pray for revival. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you.
Be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America and that I beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountain to the
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is Friday. It is April 5, 2013. You're in the right place. That is, if you want to know what's really going on, not what they want you to think that they think that you think is going on. That's really the way it is. I am watching the North-South Korea spin material. I mean, you get absolutely dizzy listening to it. Joining me in the studio to give us some clarity for all these things is our boy, Josh. Welcome, Josh, to the Power Hour.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm going to get emails now. I said, my boy, Josh. That's not a good thing. I know. All right. My man in the studio, Josh.
There you go.
My Friday man, Josh.
Good to be here.
Thank you very much. We're glad to have you here. We're going to try to get through this North and South Korea. Got a couple of emails from South Korea. Seems like they now hit the news with, oh, we might have a problem.